good. Could have kept singing that for a while. Hey, we're going to be in Psalm 120. Psalm 120. You really want to turn there. It's a real short little psalm, but we're going to look at it for just a little while. But before we do that, let me just ask you first of all, give me a hand, a show of hands. How many of you have ever done a car trip anywhere? You've been, with your family. You've been out traveling together. Okay, so everybody should have your hands up. If you didn't, then we'll have an invitation song a little later on. You come on up, and we'll pray for you. But at any rate, while you're traveling, I just am sure that you played the ABC game, right? You know what I'm talking about? You're driving along and you're looking for things on signs and license plates and stuff that start with the alphabet, and you keep track of A, B, C, D, and then you're competing with everybody else, you know. If you see a sign that says exit to Applegate, for example, you got the A, and then the B could be maybe there's a banana truck going by, you know, bananas, you know, there's a B. So you're doing the A, B, C's. And if you're like us, you had to kind of cheat on the X, because nothing starts with an X. And so exits work real good for that. Sometimes you did it with a Q, but there's always a Dairy Queen to look forward to, because you're looking for the Q, you know. They're really pretty rare, so sometimes we cheat a little bit and say, okay, anywhere in the word, if you find a Q, it's got to be at the front normally, you know. And you just loved it when you came past a KLM truck and you were on K, because you get to be K, L, and M all together, you know, and you're the winner, you know, until whoever gets to Z, of course, is the winner of that. Maybe you played the windmill game or the cow game, and that is people looking on each side. I get the left side, and I'm counting all the windmills I can see until we get to the next town, you know, and the other person's looking over here and they're counting the windmills. And it just sort of keeps you busy, you know. Sometimes we don't do windmills, or we didn't do back in the past. We don't do that too much anymore. But we would look for brown cows. How now, brown cow, you know, who has, and you would count the brown cows. And boy, when you're in Texas and you go across, you know, one of those big old ranches with all the cows, you're going to be counting for a while. But the idea is to be fair and to count how many brown cows you have until we get wherever we're going. And that was good. And you probably also played the game, I'm taking a trip, and with me I'm taking, and then you would go through the alphabet, and you would say, starting with an A, it had to be an animal of some sort. So first thing you would say is, well, I'm on a trip, and I'm taking an aardvark, you know. Well, the next person had to say, I'm taking a trip, and I'm taking with me an aardvark, but then they had to come up with a B. So then they would say, and then a beaver, you know. The third person, or back to the other person, would have to do the aardvark, the beaver, and then come up with a C. And you had to remember them. So, you know, by the time you get near the end of the alphabet, you're having to remember all of these animals alphabetically. And if you blow it, then you lose. And so it's a great game. So if you haven't played those sorts of things, then you probably have other ones. Or maybe you just listen to music. Or if you're like my wife, you probably slept, you know. Now, she doesn't sleep all the time, but she sure did. But anyway, it brings back memories for us, because when we lived out in California, we'd come home to Texas, and it was such a blast to be with the family and do those kinds of things. Our lesson today really comes from Psalm 120, and it has to do with, it's also a trip psalm, not a song. I guess a song in a sense, too, because we know the psalms are songs. I've titled the lesson, as you probably can see in your bulletin, Take Your Troubles to the Lord. Well, that comes from verse 1, where the psalmist says, and incidentally, I just want to let you know I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We're going to do some of these psalms for a period of time, and we'll be using that translation. So just be aware of that and make the switch in your mind. Anyway, in my text, it says, I took my troubles to the Lord. So that's why it's the title of our lesson, but that's also perhaps the biggest lesson for us, is take your troubles to the Lord, no matter what they are. So let me just back up and say, though, we are in the beginning of the what are called the Ascension Psalms, or the Songs of the Ascent. And the idea was that the Jewish people who were scattered all over the Roman world at that time, and even before then, scattered all over Israel anyway, there were three particular place times they had to come into Jerusalem. One of them is the Passover. Makes sense. So they would come on the Passover. The second one was Pentecost. We get to Acts chapter 2, and when Peter gets up to preach, it's on the day of Pentecost. And all these people are there from all sorts of places. And if you look at Acts chapter 2, Luke actually lists some of the places. There's about 11 or 12, I think, something, maybe 14, different countries and regions where these people had come from to Pentecost. And so they had to travel. And so these psalms, beginning with this one, this is number one, were songs of ascent as they come to Jerusalem and they travel. So it was a travel psalm, and there are 15 of them in your Bible, and they're all together. Wasn't that good that the Jewish people, when they put that together, they put them all in one place? You know, they're collected. They're one through chapter 120 through, or Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. So there are 15 of them. And every one of them are worth reading, as is anything else in any part of the Bible. But for us, it is. There's a psalm when you're traveling. There's a psalm for that. You can play the ABC games, but these folks had their own ABC game in a sense. They sang these songs. And as they traveled along in groups, you can just imagine the groups singing these songs. And so let's just start. I want to read the whole thing. It's a long psalm. You know, I'm kidding. We just finished the longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119. If you look just above Psalm 121 or 120, Psalm 119 is 176 verses long. Someday we'll preach that in one setting, you know. If you've got some time, we'll preach that. But this one, look at that. It's only seven verses long, and here it is. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How he will increase your punishment, or how will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer among these scoundrels of Meshach. It pains me to live with these people from Kedar. I am tired of living here among people who hate peace. As for me, I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. So here you have people who live in a faraway land. They're about to begin their journey, but they have not yet begun their journey, or at least it's at the very first. They haven't gotten out the gate, but they're collecting, and the purpose of their moving is looking forward to the time that they finally get to Jerusalem. It could have taken them several days, maybe over a week long, depending how far away they were. And so as they went, they would sing these songs, and this is number one. It's the start-out song, if you will. It's, in a sense, the instructions off to the side of this would be what to do when you're surrounded by scoundrels. And that's what they're saying here. I'm surrounded by scoundrels. Look at verse 5 again. How I suffer among these scoundrels. It pains me to live with these people from Kedar. These are people that they knew about. They were descendants of Noah. The first one was of Japheth, and the second one descendant of Ishmael. And remember, Ishmael was contrary to Isaac, and the Ishmaelites became the Arabs of what we know today. And so back then they were a fierce people, and they were sometimes anti-God against the Israelites. And so that's what that's all about. And so in a sense, this psalm is kind of what to do when it pains you to live with painful people. And I just imagine you do. Not necessarily your neighbors. You know, we've had some pretty good neighbors growing up all through our time. And we do now. We have, they're fairly decent people. But, you know, just in general, people maybe that you work with or people that you have to associate with for some reason, and they're just not like you. So what these folks are doing here in this psalm is they're going to the one who can help, and that's to the Father. And that's what all of us can do. And as I mentioned, they do it 3 times a year, at least with these psalms. And so as they traveled along, they would sing these songs, which I've already said. Now, here's the pop quiz question that I want to ask you, and you give me the answer if you know it later on. There won't be any prize for this, but I just want to know if you know it. What song did John Candy lead on the bus in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? What song? Don't tell anybody, you know, you got to think about it. Chew on it for a while. If you're getting bored during the song and you got a computer with you, a phone, look it up and tell me. What song did John Candy sing on the bus? He led. Okay. Anyway, I just want to give you something that you can think about if you're not able to think about, if you're not thinking here with me. Verses 1 and 2 is the first part, 3 and 4 is the second, 5 and 6 and 7 are the third. We're going to spend more time on the first than the other two, so when you look at the clock and you kind of worry about that, just realize number 2 and 3 are going to be more brief. But this is taking your troubles to the Lord. They were literally doing that. As they traveled, in a sense, they're taking their troubles to the Lord. It's kind of like when we come to church. There are times it would be a good way to look at it. Sometimes I'm coming into worship, and things have really beaten me down through the day. Maybe people I've associated with that have been very worldly, those kinds of things, and man, I need some encouragement. And that's really part of why you're here. And we sing these songs, and then somebody leads us in prayer, and we thank God for everything. We pray God to help us in different areas and to forgive us and those kinds of things like that. And so this is not much different when you come, when you look forward during the week to coming to church services. You're really coming, and of course you could do this at home too, but you're also doing it when you come to the church services, when you come to God's people, but also when you just come to the Bible and when you just come to God in prayer. You're kind of looking forward to a break, and this is like a break, our worship, but that's what they were looking for, just a break from their life, to go to Pentecost or the Passover or Tabernacles. And so one psalmist, most likely David, said in Psalm 84 and verse 10, you've heard this psalm before, but this is the attitude that I think we want to develop. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. I love that psalm. I love what the psalmist is saying there, and David surely, but there's a preference that he made as a man of God that we should make and perhaps do make already, that, boy, sometimes it's just nothing like getting together with God's people and worshiping. And you've been places, and here too, surely, where the worship, you say, man, that is really good. Boy, that singing was just super. And I just, you know, it just lifted me up. And so I left almost on my tiptoes. It was so wonderful to have been with God's people. And I was encouraged with fellowshipping and talking and then with prayer and those kinds of things. And that's what the psalmist is saying. When I think about going to the house of the Lord, boy, it's better to do that and even just be a doorkeeper there than just live out in the world and never have that option of coming in and being close to God. What better break is there from the world than coming to a sanctuary You know, some churches call their auditoriums, we just call them auditoriums. It's a little technical and true, but sanctuary's a good thing too, you know. It's like, you know, you come to a place that's safe and it feels good to be there, and you're going to be encouraged, and we're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to sing songs about God and encourage one another in songs, and that's a sanctuary. But I want to add to that individually, privately, each one of us have the sanctuary of prayer to God. We have the sanctuary of reading our Bibles. We have the sanctuary of even singing hymns to God by ourselves, you know, just talking to God. Sometimes that lifts you up, doesn't it? You know, you're beat down and it just feels good to read the Bible. It feels good to pray to God. It feels good to come to worship. You know, sometimes it's like pulling teeth for us to do that, to come to worship and do those kinds of things. But, boy, when you get here, you're glad you came. Eugene Peterson wrote this, so I wrote it down for you, and I thought it's worth kind of repeating. He's actually in prayer saying, "Rescue me from the person who tells me life and omits Christ." Rescue me from someone like that. Don't you have people around you like that? Don't you turn on the television sometimes and there are people who tell you about life, but they leave God out? There's just this empty feeling you have. You think, they're missing the mark. They want to tell us that the world has been here for billions of years and it just sort of fell together and kind of happened. And so God's kind of out of the picture. And so he says, rescue me from that, God. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I'm around these people all the time. And thank God I'm finally getting to go to Jerusalem and worship. And he does. They do. I want to point out something to you if you have your Bibles open. That Psalm 121 is a progression from that psalm, from Psalm 120. You get to Psalm 121. He says, I looked up to the mountains. Imagine he's out traveling. They are. I looked up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep. He never tires and he never sleeps. And the psalm goes on. It's only 8 verses long. We won't read it, though. The idea, though, is that, you know, you're traveling along and there's wild animals, possibly, especially at night when you camp out, you know. There's also sometimes there are thieves and there are people who might come down and try to rob you or beat you up or something like that. And so he's looking to the mountains, surely in praise to God, but also a little bit fearful that I'm out here by myself, you know, just the few of us as we travel along, maybe just my family, perhaps an extended part of my family, but there's maybe only 8 or 10 of us, and I realize I'm at risk. And so as I travel along, that's Psalm 121, that as you travel through this life, you're at risk, and that you can turn to the Lord. Keeping you from evil, preserving your life, and standing beside you are the things that are mentioned in that psalm. That's what God does. Psalm 121, and this is the only other one. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now look at verse 2. And now, here we stand. And so Psalm 120 is the leaving and looking forward to, and aware that this is really going to be like a relief. It's going to feel so good to finally get there and be with the Lord and get this cleansing from all the people I live around all the time and all the things that I have to face, the scoundrels that I suffer among and the pains that are caused. But I finally get there, he says, and I'm standing there inside your gates, O Jerusalem. And so that's the third psalm in that ascent. He finally gets there, and of course there's still 12 more to go, but which we'll look at some of them. Don't think we'll look at all of them, but anyway, they tell us and remind us about the world that God made, but they also tell us, they meaning scriptures here and our worship time together, they tell us who made it and what he's like, and they tell us about love, but not just about love. The world tells us about love, but they leave God out, not the God of love. They just tell us about love. sometimes they really get it wrong, too. They mix up love with lust sometimes. And so that causes some, you know, this difficulty in us. They don't tell us about the love of God. But God does, the church does, our Bibles do. When we pray, we understand and feel that. And so take your troubles to the Lord is the point. And here's the last couple of thoughts. Number two is to make a clear break with the troublemakers. This is for you to do on your own with whatever you see that causes trouble. In your heart and mind, just make a clear break. Verses 3 and 4, he says, "O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you?" He's not talking about himself. Those who have deceptive tongues, they're people who speak deceptions. What will God do to you? You know, you better watch out, you know. If you're a deceptive person, what do you think God will do to you? Now, there's a little bit of a vengeance in there in the psalmist. He's hoping God will do something, you know. But the Bible, of course, in the New Testament gives us a little bit more of loving our enemies and praying for them and that sort of thing. But this psalm still fits because sometimes it's okay to say, God, you take care of that. And I hope they live forever like us, but Lord, if they remain hateful toward you and toward your people, and they're very deceptive kind of people, and they're real scoundrels, then God, take them, you know, and you got them. How he will increase your punishment, he will be pierced, or you, he's talking to the person, will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. Your Bible might say glowing with or burning with coals of the broom brush. Anybody know what a broom brush is? Well, it's a brush that looks like a broom. No, it's actually a plant, and it's actually like a juniper. And we got all kinds of junipers around here. How many of you get the hay fever from the juniper tree? Yeah, I do too. I hate it, you know. But the tree actually is one of the hardest as far as the wood, and it burns the hottest, and its coals last almost the longest. I mean, it's on that high category of trees. If you were to use in your fireplace, as opposed to using a pine, which burns up real quick, use a juniper, and it'll last a long time. That's what he's saying. May God just really punish you. And so really, it's making a clear break with those people because it's like separating yourself from them, and I don't want to be like that. And, you know, God may God punish you for the way you are. But you step away from it and just let God handle it. And still not a bad thing. Pray for your enemies, but at the same time, there'll be times when you have that feeling in your gut that, you know, sometimes some people can get so wicked, so evil, so anti-God, and so down on things that you just kind of want to step away. And here's the last part. And this is for you and I to double down on our commitment to live a holy life among the worldly. And so that's what you ought to take with you. Double down. Every time you come, every week, you have an opportunity, and of course, surely during the week, but every time you come, to double down. Notice what he says in verses 5, 6, and 7. He's making a commitment. He says, "Oh, how I suffer among these scoundrels of Meshach. It pains me to live with these people from Kedar. And I'm tired of living here. I'm tired of living among people who hate peace. As for me, I'm all for peace. I mean, I love peace. I want peace. But when I speak about peace, they're for war." So there's this difference between the two. But notice he's saying, "I'm for peace. I'm for God. I'm for holiness. I'm for treating people well. I'm for loving people." And we could just go on through the list of all the godly things that God calls us to do. But therefore, most times the opposite. And those are the people I dwell among. And so I just can't wait till I get to church or till I get my Bible open at night. You ever feel like that sometimes? You ought to. You ought to turn to, instead of turning to the television all the time, which it's okay to do that sometimes. It, you know, you get your mind on something else. But turn to your Bible. Open it up. and read it. It's amazing. Sometimes when you do that, how it just kind of washes over you. You know, there's a good feeling you get from reading your Bible. So here's the last thoughts, and these are three practical things I want to give to you about making it personal. Taking this psalm where you're taking your troubles to the Lord, you're making it clear that I'm not with those people, God. I don't want to be with them, and it kind of scares me to death when I think about what you might do to them. But I'm just so tired of living here and among those kind of people, and I just love it when I'm away, and that's what that's all about. So here's how to make it personal. Number one, learn to anticipate or to look forward to worshiping with the church or reading your Bible or praying. But I want to put that one at the top because they were going to an actual assembly. Remember Psalm 122? Boy, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to church. You know, let's go to the house of the Lord. And now we're standing there. Here we are. And that's what the psalmist says. So learn to anticipate. Look forward to that. We got to go to church. Now, I have to admit, even as the preacher, sometimes I say that. Don't ask Shirley because she'll go on and on. But, not her, but I mean, she about me, you know. Do I have to go to church? You know, the old joke. Yeah, you're the preacher, you know. You got to go. But you have to go too, I mean, in this moral sense. I think it's a good thing. So, learn to anticipate, look forward to your worship with the church and reading your Bible and praying and those sorts of things. Number two, look forward to a quiet time with the Lord in prayer. Just you and the Lord. Just quiet time. And then number three, look forward with anticipation of what will be revealed to you in your Bible studies. I don't know about you, but you know, I get sometimes into a text that I've been through more times than I can probably count. As I've over the years, developed different parts of the Bible and sometimes the same ones. And doesn't it happen? Those of you that do this, doesn't it happen that you've been through it about six or seven times and you see something new? Isn't that right? You see something new. It's not that you got it all wrong in the past. You got it right. But the Bible has so much to offer, and it's so wonderful. And so anticipate, that when you read and that you're gonna find something that's really good for you and really good. So I really do. Well, that's what the songs of Ascent are all about, and we'll continue on that as we go along. But let's pause with a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the time to gather together and refresh us. And we pray, Father, you'll forgive us all of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, that when we stand here in a few seconds, we know that we are completely righteous before you, thanks to the blood of Christ. Bless us now as we leave here. Help us to have a great week. You know sometimes there'll be some things during the week that will cause some discomfort to us and some concern, and we pray, Father, that we'll just look forward to the next time we come together. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing. If you have a need, we invite you to come.